amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserved.
Sing that again. Amazing love.
Amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bore with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power.
Sing it again. Behold the cross. Thank you, Lord.
Behold the cross, age to age, and hour by hour, the dead are raised, the sinner saved, the work of your power, God. You're so good, God, you're so good, God, you're so good, you're so good to me. God, you're so good.
Should this life,
and should this life bring suffering, Lord, I will remember.
Thank you for Calvary, Lord.
what Calvary has bought for me, both now and forever. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
I am blessed.
I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name.
Well, I am blessed.
I am called. I am free. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the Lord.
Is that your testimony this morning? Sing it again. I am blessed. Well,
I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the
hallelujah.
Glory of Jesus.
Just one more time, come on.
Well, I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name.
Highly favored,
anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name. God, you're so good.
Come on, sing it. God, you're so good.
God,
you're so good.
You're so good.
Hallelujah, Lord.
God, you're so good. You're so good to
God, you're so good to me,
yeah. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to
praise this morning. God, you're good.
You're so good, yeah.
You are great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Anybody saved in the house this morning? Hallelujah. Highly favored, anointed, healed.
Yeah.
I am whole. Saved in Jesus' name. Come on, put your hands together and give Jesus praise.
Hallelujah, yeah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name. Highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus'
name. Come on, say it. Declare it. Stand on it.
I am blessed. I am called. I am healed. I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name.
Highly favored,
highly favored,
anointed,
filled with your power for the glory.
Jesus, one more time. I am blessed, I am blessed,
I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name.
Yeah,
highly favored, anointed, filled with your power for the glory of Jesus' name.
God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so
I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 4. And while you're turning there, I feel like the Spirit said, I want you to say this before you begin the message. Some of you are saying, well, I'm not blessed, I'm not called, I'm not healed, I'm not restored, I'm not all these things, because I don't feel it. I got news for you. You're not always going to feel something. How many of you know we don't walk by feelings?
Amen.
You walk by faith. You walk by faith in this word. Amen. So that's why I can stand up and I can say I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole. I am saved in Jesus' name whether I feel it or not. Because I've committed my heart and my life to Jesus Christ. He's in my life. I know He's in me. Amen. And whether I'm having a good day or a bad day, or whether I feel emotionally really close to Him or not, I'm here today to tell you that by faith, I stand up and declare, thus saith the Lord, and what the Word of God says, I walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. This day, I will worship Him. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And when I wake up tomorrow, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And when I wake up on Tuesday, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And no matter what I encounter throughout that day, there's nothing that the Lord and me together cannot handle. Somebody give Him praise in the house this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 4. You may be seated. We're just going to go through the scripture together as we go through the message today. But I do want you to pray for me. Will you stretch your hands toward me? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come to your word. Your word is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us now as we come to break bread together. We come to the table of the Lord. Holy Spirit, move in us, move upon us, and may your will be done in this place, in every heart and every life, in the name of Jesus, from the oldest person to the youngest person, Lord, and everybody in between. Holy Spirit, move in their lives, and we'll give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Anoint me now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to deliver your word. It's your word. Hide me behind the cross. I'm nothing without you, and I thank you for using me for your glory in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, everybody said. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject matter. What to remember when you're inclined to forget. How many of you know that we're inclined to forget things? And there's some things that we need to remember when we get in those moments. Because here's the reality, we all have problems. Somebody gave me a big hearty amen back there. We all have problems. There's not a person in this house that doesn't encounter problems of some sort. They come to us all. As a matter of fact, Jesus was just straight up with us. In John 16, in verse 33, he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. And when you read Job chapter 14, verse 1, he said, man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. That doesn't sound too encouraging, does it? But I've got some encouraging words on the tail end of that, because in John 16, the latter part of that verse, in verse 33, he said, even though this in this world you're going to have tribulation, be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. So that means if I am in Christ, then I'm going to overcome the world too, because he's overcome the world. How many of you know that you're in Christ today? If you're in Christ, you are an overcomer. I said you're an overcomer. You're made more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus, who loved you and gave himself for you. And we've already sung it this morning. Neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are overcomers if you're in Christ. Problems are multifaceted, aren't they? Do any of the following apply to you this morning? You may feel like you're failing as a parent and you're losing the war and you're at the end of your rope. Or maybe your finances may be an absolute wreck. There's too much month left at the end of your money. You're so far in debt you can't see your way out with a telescope. And you're at the end of your rope. And this is another sermon for another day, but you need to develop a plan to get out of debt and start spending less than you're bringing in. Right? I believe God's people ought to have a plan to get out of debt, because the borrower is a slave to the lender. That's another sermon for another day. But God wants to set his people free so that we can do the things that he's called us to do, so that we're not bound up financially. Amen, somebody. Well, I don't know how to do that. We'll take the Dave Ramsey Financial Course, start learning how to have a budget, put God first in your finances, put him first in your tithe and your offering, and watch him work in your life. That's another sermon for another day, but you can take that and chew on it for a little bit. Maybe you've lost a loved one and nothing seems to take care of the loneliness. You live in a constant state of heartbreak and you feel like you're at the end of your rope. You may be dealing with physical issues and that have weighed you down spiritually and emotionally. You may be in a situation right now and you've done everything you know to do to solve the problem, but you are now at the point you literally don't know what to do and you're at the end of your rope. Today I want us to look at a woman in Scripture whose story provides hope. Aren't you thankful that the Word of God provides hope? She had reached this place. She did not know what to do. She did not know where to turn. And just as it looked as if nothing was going to work out, God stepped in and worked out everything for her good and for his glory. Anybody here believe that God is working on your behalf for your good and for his glory? Hallelujah. All things work together. That's what it says. All things are working together for the good to those who love them, to love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. Undoubtedly, this story in Scripture is given to us for very good reason. God wants to show us that the same way he took care of this woman then, it's the same way that God can take care of us today in these challenging times. We need to remember four things. If you want to write them down at the very onset, it might be helpful. God sees our problems. He hears our prayers. He keeps his promises. And he gives us his provision. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1. And a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. This woman faced some terrible problems. She was obviously married to someone in training for the ministry. She was a wife of the son of a prophet. That's why he was called the son of the prophet. Perhaps he was still in seminary, if you will. I don't know. But he was training and probably didn't have very much money. I can relate to that. When I was in seminary, I didn't have much money either. And like wolves howling at the doors, there were compassionless creditors. How many of you know that creditors are not very much filled with compassion? That's another reason you want to get out of debt. They were lined up waiting for their money. The only thing in her mailbox was unpaid bills and eviction notices. And evidently this family had gotten into debt and they owed a great deal of money. This woman had sold everything she had. She had sold her furniture and sold her fixtures, and all she had left was some family. And in those days, your family could be used as collateral for any loan. And if you owed money you could not repay and you had children, those children could be taken from you and sold into slavery to eradicate the debt. There was no such thing as chapter 11. There was no such thing as filing bankruptcy. It was pay up or ship out. And so we're told this woman cried out to Elisha. You can hear the urgency and the emergency feeling within her voice. She comes to Elisha and says, "My husband feared God. He loved God. He served God. But now where is God when I need him?" We've all been there one time or another. And if you haven't, you will be at some point. It may not be the same situation that this lady had, but all of us need God. All of us are going to come to the place where if God doesn't come through, if God doesn't intervene, then we're not going to see the deliverance. Everyone in this building is going to get to a time in your life when you will not know what to do. So that raises the question, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Short answer, do what you know to do. Put into practice the truths you have already learned. Remember, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, he said, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And in verse 16, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. You've got to cry out to the Lord, just like this woman did to Elisha. And Elisha serves as a foreshadowing person of Christ. We need to cry out to Jesus, the one who can help us. And furthermore, when you don't know what to do, God does. You see, your problems, and this message is just a continuation of the message we had in Sunday school this morning. You see, our problems are God's opportunities to work. How many of you have heard that song before, Through It All? I love that song, especially that last verse. It says, I thank God for the mountains. I thank him for the valleys. I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. Because if I had never had a problem, I wouldn't know that he could solve them. I wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. I'm here to tell you today, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. No matter what you're facing here this morning, I'm here to tell you today, he is able to move in your life and to move that mountain in your life. He's able to solve that problem if you'll turn it over to him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he sees our problems, first of all. But number two, aren't you thankful that he hears our prayers? Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? He said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Verse number two. You have nothing, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. And Elisha asked this lady two questions. What do you need? And what do you have? What do you need? And what do you have? She said, I have nothing but a jar of oil. She didn't realize it at the time, but in that jar of oil was an oil well. In that jar of oil was a gold mine, if you will. You know, so often we cannot tell the difference between trash and treasure, but how many of you know that little is much when God is in it? Hallelujah. The woman didn't realize that she had what she had in that jar of oil. She underrated it and she overlooked it. And the Hebrew word for jar is a word that literally means flask. It was the flask of anointing oil that would be used to anoint the servants of God. And undoubtedly, it could have been the flask of oil that her late husband had used in his ministerial duties in anointing people in ministry. This was not an ordinary oil. It was a holy oil. It was an anointing oil that her husband probably used many times in ministry. But notice what happens next in verses 3 and 4. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbor's empty vessels. Everybody say empty. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come into the house, I want you to shut the door behind you and your sons and pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. Out of this jar, the fullness of God's power and his provision would flow. You see, this woman already had all that she needed to meet her need. She had an oil well right there in that kitchen and did not even realize it. How many of you know that we've got, maybe we might have the answer right there and don't even realize it. Sometimes we need to understand it. We need our perspective changed. We need our outlook changed, like we heard in Sunday school this morning. Sometimes we're looking at it the wrong way and we need God to open up the eyes of our heart and help us to realize that right there in front of us is a breakthrough. I'm here to tell somebody here today, you're feeling weighed down and you're feeling discouraged, but there's a praise that's inside of you. And if you let the oil, that well of that oil just begin to rise up within you and let the lion of the tribe of Judah come out and start praising God, there's a breakthrough praise that's right there within your grasp. But you've got to engage your will and begin to worship him anyway. Even if you don't feel like it, don't wait for the Spirit to come on you. Begin to praise him and the Spirit of God will move in your life. There may be in your heart already an oil well. It reminds me of John 7 and 37. He stood up on the last day of the feast and cried out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He said, for out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. May I remind you of what Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. If you've got Jesus Christ in your life, listen, you've got the same power in you that raised Christ from the dead. There's nothing you can't get through and overcome with his help. You can't do it on your own, but I'm telling you, with God's help, with the resurrection power residing on the inside of you, you will make it and you will overcome. You won't just get by, you will be thriving in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. If you're gonna give God praise, let's do it right. Put your hands together and give Jesus praise. Jesus, we glorify you. Hallelujah. But notice this very important aspect. He said, make sure those vessels are empty. Why is that so important? Because God can only fill, are you listening? He can only fill an empty vessel. You can't be full of yourself and full of the Holy Ghost at the same time. You can't be full of sin and the world and the flesh and the devil and expect to be full of God as well. It doesn't work that way. That's what I was talking about last week with holiness and sanctification and how important that is. You can't have God moving in your life in power and glory and revival until you get rid of sin. Until you forsake sin and repent. He's looking for clean and empty vessels. We need to be emptied out of self and sin and purified by the holiness of God. Your body is a vessel of the oil of the Spirit. And when your vessel is empty of self and clean of sin, God can fill you, God can use you, and God can meet the needs in your life. I know you've heard of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. He said this, he was asked the secret of his success, how he was able to build a worldwide organization in such a short period of time with limited resources. And here's what he said, and I quote, "God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with them, I made up my mind that God would have all there was of William Booth. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. What a tremendous testimony of dependence upon God. You got all of me." That's what he was saying. How many of us can say, God, all of me is all surrendered to you? And when you're empty of self and clean of sin, have the oil well of the Spirit flowing in your life, you can rest assured he has heard your prayers and that he's moving on your behalf. How many believe that he is hearing your prayers and that he's moving on your behalf? You may not have seen the manifestation of it yet. Can I just tell you, you've got to keep on pressing on. You've got to keep on believing. You've got to keep on trusting, because his ways are not our ways. His timetable is not our timetable. But you got to keep doing what's right if you want to see the results and the fruit from your investment. Amen. And thirdly, God keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. I got a little bit of a ring up here, and I don't know if it's that cord maybe that's going into the, if you'll check that for me. God keeps, or rather a hum, actually. God keeps his promises. Now, Elisha gives her some strange instructions. He said, "And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." Verse number 4. She was told to do three things. Shut the door, pour out the oil, and fill up the vessels. Notice her response. She went from him, shut the door behind her, and her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Here's what I want you to see right here. There was no debate. Is that really you talking to me, Lord? Is that what I really need to do? I don't see how this could benefit. I don't see how that would help anything. I've got a better way to do it, Lord. Let me give you some advice on how what I think should be done. There was no questioning, no debating that we see of in Scripture anyway, right? No disagreements, no deliberations, no disputing. She immediately and exactly did what God told her to do. She kept pouring and God kept blessing. Somebody's going to get that in a minute. She kept pouring and God kept blessing. She kept pouring and God kept blessing. She kept obeying God. And God kept blessing. May I tell you, the only kind of obedience that pleases God is wholehearted obedience. There's no such thing as a partial obedience. There's no such thing as doing it halfway. There's no such thing as doing what Saul did. Oh, he said to Samuel, "Yes, I have obeyed." Samuel said, "No, you didn't. I never told you to make sacrifices." He said, "But to hold to obey is better than sacrifice. I want you to do what I tell you to the very nth degree. Do exactly what I say." The greatest advice ever given in the Bible, I believe, one of the greatest pieces of advice
is what Mary said to the others in the very first miracle that Jesus recorded in Scripture. At the wedding of Cana, remember that? You know what she said? She said, I want you to do exactly what he said. Whatever Jesus says to do, that's what I want you to do. Do exactly what he said. If you keep pouring, if you'll keep pouring out your life and heart before God, he will keep filling it up with the power and the presence and the oil of his Spirit. He'll keep pouring his life into your life. If you keep pouring out your life in service to God and others, he'll use you to reach others for him and for his kingdom. We're not here for just for ourselves. We're not here just to hoard this life to ourselves. God has called us to be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed. We're blessed with purpose. Amen? Purpose. Someone has once said, God tests us by our faith, but he measures us by our obedience. I want to share just a quick story with you, and this is not to pat myself on the back at all. It's just an example of how if we'll walk in obedience, God will bless us, because there's many times I haven't always obeyed, just like you haven't, right? But I was at McDonald's a few weeks ago. And I was there. Sometimes I'll go into McDonald's or I'll go into Atlanta Bread Company, and I'll go in there and do my devotions, and I'll carry some books in there, and I'll carry my computer in, and I'll just do my devotions after I drop the kids off at school and before I head into the office. And on that particular morning, I had my biscuit and I was going out the door. I didn't stay the whole time. And as I was walking by this man, I made eye contact with him and I said hello to him. And as I got out the door, the Holy Spirit said, I want you to give that man some money. Well, it's been a long time since I had heard something like that. And I just, and I said, do what? You want to make sure that you're, okay, Lord. And the Holy Spirit just came over me. The presence of God just came over me. So I turned around and I introduced myself. I said, hey, I know you don't know who I am. And we've never met before, but the Lord just told me to give you some money. And tears began to well up in his eyes. He said, you don't know how much that means to me. He said, I just got out of prison, and I'm trying to get my life back on track. And I'm homeless. I don't have a place to live. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, if you'll obey God, obey. It may not make sense to you. It may not make any sense whatsoever. Just trust God. And behold, I was able to talk to him about the Lord. I shared the gospel with him. And then we prayed the prayer of salvation right there in McDonald's. I'm here to tell you today, God will use you. You can be a blessing for others. The oil well of his Spirit can flow in you and out of you to touch somebody else and bring healing to their lives and bring hope. I don't know what's happened with that guy today. I don't know where he's at today. All I know is in that moment, God said, turn around and help him. God's called you to bless people. He's blessed you to be a blessing. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. Otherwise, it's just talk. If there's not a desire in our lives to keep the commandments of the Lord and put his word into practice, it's just talk. How many of you want to put God's word into practice? You want to live it out. You have a heart to obey God. Raise your hand if you have a heart to obey God and you want it to grow in obedience. Hallelujah. And lastly, God gives us his provision. Aren't you thankful that he provides our every need? Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. And the Bible says the oil ceased. There is not another vessel, and the oil ceased. And then she came to the man of God and told him. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest. Amazingly, this woman had enough to provide for her debts. How many of you know that God blesses us way above and beyond what we even ask for? We ask God for one thing, and He blesses us with a whole lot more. Because He loves to give good gifts to His children. How many believe that? She was asking for enough to pay off her debts, and God gives her enough to pay off her debts and so they can live on the rest. Oh, hallelujah. And the only reason she ran out of oil, don't you miss this morning, is because there were no more vessels. There was no limit on the amount of oil. The only limit was the number of vessels. Do you know what that means? Listen, you have all of God that you want and all that you make room for, no more and no less. You have all of God that you really want, no more and no less. Because if you really want God in your life, if you really want more of God in your life, you'll make more and more room for Him. You'll say exactly what John said about Jesus. He said, He must increase and I must decrease. And the more you decrease and the more you get yourself out of the way, the more room you make for God, His power and His glory in your life. If that woman had brought 1 million empty vessels, she would have wound up with 1 million filled vessels. God will give you what you're prepared to receive. That's why the heart must be cultivated. That's why it must be prepared. That's why we believe that you need to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. You're not going to be filled with God's Spirit until you get sanctified and set apart from this world, the flesh, and the devil. You can't be full of the Holy Spirit and still full of sin. You can't be doing all these things that you know are wrong. You've been taught that are wrong. You've grown up in the church and you know they're wrong. And you continue to do them. And you still want God to bless you. And you still want God to show you the way. You still want God to direct your path. He's not going to direct your path until you get on His path. I told myself I wouldn't get into that today, but I did anyway. Holy Spirit, that was for somebody here today. Listen, God is calling us to walk with Him. If that woman had brought 1 million empty vessels, those would have been filled. Isn't that just mind-boggling? That's the only reason the oil ceased. You got to make room for God to work in your life. It reminds me of a story I read, and I'm trying to bring this to a close, about two men who went down to the lake one morning to do some trout fishing. How many of you like to fish? How many of you like to trout fish? Okay, some of you like just any kind of fishing. And they stayed there all day long. But one man had a strange habit. Every time he caught a trout, he would pull out a little ruler and measure it. And if the trout measured longer than his ruler, he would throw it back. So strangely enough, he kept all of the little trout that he caught, and he threw all of the larger ones back in. His partner watched in disillusionment all day long, could not figure out what in the world his friend was doing. He said, "I can't stand it any longer. I've never seen a man fish like this in my whole life." He said, "You've kept all of the small trout and threw back all of the big ones." The man said, "Sure did." He said, "Why did you do that?" The man said, "Because I only have an 8-inch frying pan." Rather than getting a bigger skillet, he was settling for the smaller fish. How many of you know that God wants to give us some 12-inch and some 15-inch blessings? But all we have is an 8-inch faith. The more room you make for God in your life, the more of God you will have in your life. It's really that simple. You got to make room. You got to prepare for the power and the glory of God. And the more you read this word, the more the word will work in your life. The more you get down to pray, the more the Holy Ghost will move in your life. The more you surrender yourself to Jesus. Jesus, the more the power of God will flow, and you're able to resist temptation and resist the powers of hell, and the more the glory of God can flow in your life, and the Spirit of God will be poured out upon the church. The more we pray and the more we make room for God in our lives, Holy Ghost, come, have your way in my heart, have your way in this church, have your way in this city, have your way in my life. I'll make room for you. Move as you will, God. Come on, give him praise in the house. It's time to get a new spiritual skillet. It's time to get a bigger frying pan. It's time to say, God, here I am. Have your way in my life. You see, it's that small mentality that cripples us and handicaps us. It's time to get rid of that small mentality and say, Lord, I make room for you. Pastor Tom, if you'll come, I make room for you. I make room for your work in my life. How many of you want to make room for God? Hallelujah. That means you're going to have to let go of yourself. You got to let go of more of you if you want more of God. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want you to lift up praise and glory and honor to Jesus in this house. Hallelujah. If you're willing to give more of yourself, if you're willing to give more of yourself, hallelujah, just lift up your hands and say, here I am, God. Here's my heart. Here's my life. I'm making room for you. I'm making room for your spirit, your power, your glory. I thank you for seeing my problems. I thank you for hearing my prayers. I thank you for keeping your promises to me. And Lord, I thank you for providing your provisions in my life. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for making a way where there seems to be no way. And I thank you for making the crooked places straight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you need a miracle today. You need God to move. And if God doesn't move, you don't know how it's going to, you don't know how it's going to shape out. If that is you, I want you to come and meet me in this altar today. I want to agree with you in prayer. I want to believe with you in prayer for miracles to be poured out. But for the rest of us and many of us here today, we just need to come and say, God, I need more of you. And I've come to give up more of me. I surrender my life completely.